Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here from Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And as always, we'd like to invite you to join us in our Zoom session, which is right after this, where you get to see your Unity family, listen to some music. We have a special musician today, guitarist Jimmy Stewart, who you I know you really enjoy, especially if you've heard him before. And so we look forward to seeing you there, and we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. Now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, January the 30th. Keywords are world peace, and the affirmation is, I envision all people living in harmony. Sometimes I wonder about my place in a world that is changing so rapidly. I realize that many of the world's people may be wondering the same thing. Change can feel scary, especially when I feel as though I have to navigate a shifting landscape alone. I expand my awareness and wonder whether others are feeling the way I do. Feeling fearful or insecure can overwhelm feelings of peace. As peace seems further and further away, it's easy to drift into isolation and discord. I pray reclaiming peace by feeling my divine identity as a child of God. I remember that all people share this divine identity. I include all the world's people in my prayer, envisioning us coming together in harmony to create a peaceful world. The scripture reading is taken from Hebrews 12:14, and it reads, pursue peace with everyone and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Amen. We will now have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are continuing with this series, Grasping Truth at Its Roots. And this is part three. And, you know, I'm always trying to dig deeper and deeper into this idea of how do we move from intellect to spirit, all right? And, of course, it takes some understanding to really grasp these ideas of what we need to do in order to make this shift, because it's way more than the intellectual shifts that we've been making throughout our lives as we learn more and more. This is sort of getting beyond learning. So let's review for a moment the theme for the last 2 weeks. You know, the emphasis has been on the need for the human race, or more specifically, the need for each one of us to learn how to become higher and higher expressions of the good that God is, which we learned in last week's lesson is a level that is higher than we presently understand good to be or God to be. Okay? And as we learned last week, good and God are one and the same, and we are the channels that are capable of allowing the good that God is to flow through us and into the world. We are the channels through which the good that God is can flow into the world when we learn how to let it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So the scripture that has been and still is sort of the foundation truth of these lessons is found in Matthew 22:37. Okay. You know this verse very well. But again, as I've said before, I kind of learned this from my old mentor, Reverend George Stone, that you look at scriptures over and over again, and they begin to reveal more of themselves to you, okay? So this foundation truth that we've been using in this lesson is Matthew 22:37, where Jesus replies to a question about which was the greatest commandment in the law. And I think we all are familiar with this. And he said, of course, it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And we're going to talk more about that concept of what it means to love your neighbor. And he says, all the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments, all right? So the basic purpose of this scripture is to understand that there is a power and presence within us that's greater than the perception we presently have about ourselves, all right? There's a power and presence within us that's greater than the perception we have about ourselves. And of course, we have about each other. And in essence, we're learning how to remain lucid, clear-minded, keen in our discernment. It's about learning how to be free of our own baggage so that we can see the world through eyes unclouded by past experiences that might be tainting and distorting our personal perceptions, okay? And, you know, we move towards this state of mind by being willing to let go of what we presently believe to be real and true, okay? And that's a real challenge. In a discussion with a friend of mine this past week, we were talking about some things that are happening with computer graphic cards, and we read some things about it, and we said, you know what, we really will never know the real truth about what is happening, okay? So we have to become open and receptive to a truly real truth that transcends what is happening, so to speak, in this world. And this leads to what Jesus called being born anew. So this this idea of sort of unlearning what we have learned and being open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth requires us to be born anew, meaning born, being able to see life through a new mind and a new way of thinking and being. It's that same old story you've heard me say so many times before when Nicodemus came to Jesus and says, how can I enter the kingdom of heaven? John 3:3. And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Meaning we cannot comprehend what is truly good or what is truly God unless we're willing to allow our minds to be constantly cleansed of old perceptions. And without new birth and renewal, new thought and new understanding, we cannot comprehend what the good that God is, okay? And we also can't comprehend how to express it. Not only can we not understand and comprehend the good that God is, but we can't understand how to express it. But this exploration that we're on right now is about negating ourselves. It's not about negating ourselves. Okay? So as we're talking about this new mindset, this renewed mindset we're striving to move into, we're not negating ourselves or the importance of who we are and what we are right now. Because we do contribute a lot of good in our lives, and we contribute a lot of good into the lives of others. So we're not negating that. However, this is a study on how to become more spiritually organic, right? Meaning allowing ourselves to grow and expand spiritually with every encounter and interaction that life presents us with. And the person who practices being spiritually organic grows and expands beyond his or her present conscious and unconscious mental state, okay? And a person who is spiritually static, who's not allowing themselves to grow, who's weighed down by old baggage, cannot grow or expand spiritually, and thus remains trapped or imprisoned in a cycle of continuously re-experiencing what he or she believes to be true for themselves, okay? And we've talked about that in many different ways over the years. And if you are wondering how does one become spiritually organic, all right, it is simply by continuously practicing being still and letting go, okay? When we are not being still and letting go, we are spiritually static. We're keeping ourselves where we are. But the idea of wanting to be more spiritually organic, it requires that we are capable of practicing being still and letting go. And it's funny, we'll say that to each other sometimes when something's going, we'll just say to each other, well, just let it go, all right? And, you know, we'll go, okay, you know, maybe I'll try to do that. But we're talking about an actual disciplined practice of being still and letting go. And it's not our true nature to be spiritually static. It is not our true nature to weigh ourselves down with old baggage. And Jesus told us that it is our nature to be free. Free of old baggage, free of static beliefs, immobilizing fears, and dogmatic opinions. He said, in essence, if you follow the directions I have given you, you will come to know the truth, and that truth will make you free. So let's try to understand how we intellectually give up our natural, how we gave up our natural ability to be spiritually free. And in our role as human beings, we have naturally sought to make a name for ourselves. Now, stay with me as we go through this. And I say naturally because that is how we were socialized, okay? We weren't socialized to be spiritual. We were socialized to be ego-driven, okay? But in this process, it caused us to, of trying to make a name for ourselves, so to speak, it caused us to unconsciously undermine our true name, which is the Christ, okay? We created our own word of truth, which undermined the word of truth that naturally resides in our subconscious minds, okay? Our subconscious realm of minds. Like when you've studied the 12 powers, that those are 12 gifts from God that live in the subconscious realm of our mind. Each one of those gifts has the power to change our mind, to change our lives, change our thinking and change our lives when we learn how to call upon them. So in our own way, we have each built, and this is leading up to a Bible verse, and many of you probably know this already. In our own way, we have each built a tower of our own making, which became the intellectual materialistic means by which we seek to reach God. Okay? Let me say that again. In our own way, you know, we have built this tower, a tower of our own making, which became the intellectual materialistic means by which we seek to reach God. And because we allowed our awareness of our true self to drift in the direction of our ego self or intellectual self, we no longer know our natural connection to spirit. And we're gonna get more into this. So most of our present knowledge about spirit is intellectual knowing as opposed to natural, organic knowing, okay? Just sort of like, again, Myrtle Fillmore, when she was told that as a child of God, we do not inherit sickness. It became a natural, organic knowing for her. And because of that, she was healed of tuberculosis. So that's what we're talking about. So let's go to scripture to look at a metaphysical explanation of an allegory that explains how this happened, okay? How we drifted away from our natural, organic, spiritual self. And the scripture, and it's a long one, but, you know, many of you are familiar with it, but we're going to break this scripture down, and it's found in Genesis 11, 1 through 5. It says, now the whole world had one language and one common speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, okay, from the east, notice that's emphasized, that they found a valley in the land of Shinar. And they settled there. And they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And here's the key. They use bricks instead of stones and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name, meaning a nature, for ourselves and not be scattered all over the whole earth. Okay. So that Bible verse is full of symbolism, ripe for interpretation. And part of what we discussed in the first lesson in these series is that the separation that exists between us is because we as a human race do not have a common goal for the good of all of humankind, all of humankind, all of humanity. And we see that on the news all the time, okay? Simply when it comes to the good for everyone, we are not of one mind. Now this Bible verse is presenting the idea that at one time we were of one mind, okay? I'll explain that more as we go along. So as the verse explained, now the whole world, it said, now the whole world had one language and one common speech, a collective consciousness that worked together as one, right? However, when we are studying Scripture, let's always remember that ultimately the Scripture is presenting an allegory about what is occurring inside of each one of us. So this verse is telling us that at one time, we had a sense of oneness within ourselves. So it sounds like it's talking about the whole world, but remember, Scripture is always talking about what is happening within inside of us. So at one time, we had a sense of oneness within ourselves, and it is only when we feel at one or atoned within ourselves that we each would also feel a sense of oneness and wholeness towards each other. So it's because we feel so scattered inside of ourselves that we feel unattached and scattered from each other. So the verse continues, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a valley in the land of Shinar, and they settled there. Okay, now they found a valley. They moved from the east. Some of you started to interpret this already. And they found a valley in the land of Shinar, and they settled there. Now, this is a very significant verse. In Scripture, symbolism, in scriptural symbolism, the east means the within. And also from the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, we find out that Shinar means the divided mind, a belief in two powers, good and evil, right and wrong. So the basis of the word of Shinar is two, dualistic division and separation. So what this is saying is that humanity, individually and collectively, chose to move away from the divinity of our own indwelling Christ presence, the east, and move down into a lower part of the valley of our consciousness, where there's no longer a belief in oneness, but rather the belief is in division and separation. So we move from a higher consciousness down into a lower consciousness. And just to emphasize here that in truth, the within, meaning the Christ presence within each of us, within that Christ presence, there is no such thing as two powers. In that Christ presence within us, there's no such thing as good and evil, right and wrong, okay? So the notion of separation, the opposing powers only exist in the lower consciousness of humankind. The mind focused away from the inner light of God, which is represented here by the Valley of Shinar. Now, on an individual level, it means that each of us has moved away from our indwelling Christ presence, away from focusing our attention on putting God first, away from loving God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, away from loving our neighbor as ourselves. Okay? And remember, this is an allegorical explanation that may or may not be true for you. Okay, you have to decipher that for yourself. Okay, all right. However, this concept of love, love thy neighbor, does not mean we have to agree with everything that our neighbor says or does. But here's the key. In our disagreement, it is our work to learn how to salvage our recognition of the Christ presence within each other, which is the true neighbor that we're talking about, okay? So when it says, love thy neighbor as ourselves, we're talking about the Christ in me beholds the Christ in you. The Christ in me beholds the neighbor in Christ in you, okay? So Christ in you is my neighbor, okay? The Christ in you is my neighbor. Attacking our neighbor with ill feelings because we disagree with him or her is similar to a cell in our body attacking a neighboring cell. If this happens in our body on a mass scale, the body eventually begins to break down, if that makes sense, okay? So a simple test for each one of us that will help us to determine whether or not we have traveled away from the east, okay, away from the Christ presence within, is to check your heart and your mind to determine your relationship with your indwelling Christ. Look at your thoughts, feelings, the beliefs, opinions, and prejudices. These are your inner neighbors. If there is a sense of oneness within you, okay, You have to ask, is there a sense of oneness within me, or am I scattered and having problems with what's going on inside of me? Do you have a sense of the Christ presence within you as well as in others, okay? Or do you more have a sense of this turmoil or divisiveness that's within you, and then that is projected on to others, okay? So these ideas hopefully are tests that we can use for ourselves to figure out, where am I in this process, okay? Where am I in this spiritual path? You know, is there a sense of love for the people in your life, even though you do not agree with them? Do you pray for them and yourself to come into the healing presence of the Christ light? Or do you just condemn them in yourself with negative feelings and emotions? See, this is the whole self thing you have to go through. It's sort of like, again, wanting to be operate as a Gnostic. A Gnostic is always experimenting with these ideas and using discernment within themselves to see how they are doing in their spiritual process. And yes, I agree that self-condemnation and negative feelings towards others is natural to our ego perspective. Okay, it's just natural. Again, as I said earlier, it's the way we socialize. It's the way the news socializes us. It's the way everything kind of socializes us in that direction. But if you find yourself stuck in condemnation of yourself or others, it means that according to Scripture, you have traveled from the east and have settled for living in the lower valley of Shinar, meaning in the lower consciousness. Now, let's look at the next line of that Scripture. It says, they said to each other, and this is really important, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Okay? Now, remember, they're making bricks, baking them thoroughly, which means now they have a very hard substance. And here's the key. They use bricks instead of stone and slime for mortar. Right? So the meaning of this line is very powerful and very significant in helping us to understand how to build a strong connection with our spiritual core. The word stone is used in Scripture to represent truth. Let me say that again, because this is important. The word stone in Scripture is used to represent truth. But the verse said that the people chose to make bricks rather than to use stone. Now, I think you may already understand the metaphysical significance of this passage. Stone, as we know, is a natural creation. It's made by your nature. Okay, it's natural. Brick is man-made. And we, as we travel in consciousness away from the Christ presence within us, we lose our awareness of the original truth. And the further away we move from the divinity that dwells within us, the less likely we are to use truth, stone, to build our lives. And without stone, truth, we begin to make bricks. And the bricks we make and use to build our lives are made of the notions, the opinions, the beliefs and fears and other dogma of human consciousness, okay? And as I said, they baked them to make them hard. Charles Fillmore called that crystallized race consciousness, okay? So in essence, we build our lives on the word of man instead of building our lives on the word of God, all right? So the major problem with truth based on the word of man is that truth varies tremendously from person to person, okay? This takes us back to the original theory that there is no common truth that all of humankind embraces, which would make us come together more as one. And this is a result of each of us making our own bricks in place of using stone, which is the original truth within us. And to reiterate the theory we examined in a previous lesson, the only way to know original truth is for each of us to be open to discovering it within ourselves. Okay? The only way to really know truth is to be open to discovering it within ourselves. No one can give you the understanding of original truth. Nobody. Okay? Original truth is a natural phenomenon such that when it occurs within the consciousness of an individual, that person knows from the depth of his or her being what truth is. And once you know that, no one, no thing, no experience, no condition, no circumstance will ever be able to take that away from you. And I think for most of us, our truth has changed from experience to experience throughout our lives. Think about it. Throughout your life, what you thought was truth has changed. It's kept changing, which might help us understand that we have not yet found original truth from within. So if our truth keeps changing, it means we have not yet found original truth. Now, we may be on a path, a spiritual path, where we're tapping into aspects of truth that are helping us to reshape our whole, you know, dynamic, start moving more back towards the east, get out of the valley and move back more towards the east. I believe that's happened to many who are listening right now, okay? That you are making that journey back to the east, okay? So, and it's important for us to remain open and receptive, spiritually organic, okay? Instead of dogmatic or emphatic about what we think is truth. That's what we want to move away from. We want to move away from being spiritually static to being spiritually organic, okay? We want to move away from being dogmatic and emphatic about what we think is truth. And again, become more open and receptive, okay? And as the last line of the scripture says, then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that when we make, so we may make a name or a nature for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Okay. Now, we explored earlier that it is the escalation of the ego's sense of importance that causes our sense of separation from God and each other. Okay. So this scripture expresses how the people began to build their own sense of importance. Let us build a city and a tower, okay? The idea of using bricks, the word of man, instead of stone, the word of God, to build a tower symbolizes how humankind has attempted to develop an intellectual connection to God in place of the true connection that lies naturally, organically within our soul. So the concept of building a tower is a false belief that we can raise ourselves to greater spiritual heights, that we can raise ourselves to greater spiritual heights. It's a false belief that we have the power to heal ourselves and bring ourselves into the light of spiritual understanding, okay? And we've always said, you know, that goes back, that what I just said, you know, that we think we can heal ourselves and bring ourselves into the light of spiritual understanding. It goes back to that idea of the ego cannot jump out of the ego. We cannot do it for ourselves. That's why I said remain lucid, just clear-minded, letting go, being still. Let the process unfold. And again, as I mentioned before, this is not meant to negate what we have thought was good or love up to this point. Remember, it is our spiritual quest to constantly raise the level of our understanding of what is good and what is love, from the perspective of our own Christ consciousness. Okay? And I mentioned again that Jesus confessed, I can do nothing of my own. Okay, that's John 5:30. I can do nothing on my own. All right? The consciousness of the people in the scripture still, in many ways, represents the crude consciousness of the human mind today. They thought they could make a name for themselves. The word name means nature. So this is saying that human consciousness seeks to create its own nature when it forgets that in truth, it has the same nature as God, okay? Let me say that again, okay? That humankind, you know, seeks to create its own nature when it forgets that in truth, it has the same nature as God. And finally, as you may know, in this story, everyone's language was confounded and the people were scattered throughout the earth. Okay? So let's bring that part down to a personal level. If we do not train ourselves to turn within, to the east, for guidance for all of our affairs, we will find ourselves building our own lives based on the self-made bricks of our personal opinions, beliefs, prejudices, and fears, instead of the stones of truth that is God. In this in the process of living, you know, living how to, you know, learning how to use stones instead of bricks, and going through that process of learning how to do that, how do I use stones instead of bricks, It's simple. In all things, learn. We say this every time. To get still, turn within, and let the activity of the indwelling Christ flow effortlessly through you. And when you find yourself getting ready to make some bricks, get still, turn within, and let the activity of the indwelling Christ flow effortlessly through you. Just say to yourself, quietly, gently, sincerely, you know, when you get ready to make them bricks, okay, just say to yourself, quietly, gently, sincerely, courageously, not my will, but thine be done. And I'm going to leave you with this quote from Ernest Holmes in his 365 Days of Richer Living. If you have that, 365 Days of Richer Living is on page 237. And he said, the full action of God in my life is perfect peace. The full action of God in my life is perfect peace. The thoughts of God in my consciousness keep me in perfect poise and harmony. And for this, I am truly grateful. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have inspirational moment. Meditation with Miss Pamela. Thank you.
You could still call it an inspirational moment.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's each of us relax in our own special way and take a deep breath in. Exhale. Take another deep breath in. Exhale. Enjoy this peaceful moment as you allow spirit to restore your natural balance. As you are breathing in and out, you become aware of any tension leaving your body. From the top of your head to your toes, you release and let go. You are now immersed in the comfort of God's love. You feel this love removing any anxiety and worried thoughts and feelings. There is great comfort in knowing that God is with you at all times and in all circumstances. From that thought alone, you feel your spirit lifted. You feel safe and peaceful. Notice as you breathe, your mind is still and at peace. You are calm and at ease. Spirit is flowing through you, and you can feel security and tranquility washing over you. Serenity wells up from your innermost self. Peace floods your mind and body. You are one with God. You are one in the midst of peace, of love, faith, strength, and wisdom. Breathe deeply now and notice that with each heartbeat, you become aware of the peaceful presence that is within you now and always. You are never alone. Peace and love and truth are but a breath away. In these next few moments, with the peaceful and positive feeling you have, take this now into the silence where you can feel that peaceful expansion of consciousness enhancing your well-being. Once again, dear ones, breathe deeply and allow your eyes to open if you feel ready to do so. Bring your awareness back to your surroundings and give thanks for the many blessings we are receiving on a daily basis. We are thankful in the name and nature of our elder brother and way shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is and forever shall be. Amen.
Thank you, Hannah. That was wonderful. So let's prepare ourselves to give thanks for the wonderful offerings and donations and blessings that have been coming into Unity Center of Light. We ask you to keep your donations in your hand, in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen.
All right, and you now have
Light Notes.
Light Notes.
So, February 26th is our next connection event. So join us at the church building to pick up your Lent booklets and say a safe hi to your Unity Center of Light folks. Our annual membership meeting is coming on Sunday, March the 13th at 1 p.m. All are invited, but only Unity Center of Light members may vote. Start reading your book now for the March 20th Light Book, Book Light Book Club. The book is called Ego is the Enemy. More information on all these events are available in the newsletters and weekly updates. If you do not receive the e-newsletter, please put your email into the chat and we will add you to the mailing list. Thank you very much.
All right, so now it is time to
bless the path that we walk this week. I'm going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal,
and gusto. All right.
Together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
And let's go right to our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been a pleasure to be with you today, and we look forward to seeing you in a Zoom session right after this. Otherwise, stay warm out there.
Yes, and be safe.
And be safe.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.